Good morning, and welcome to Clear Lake Christian Church. A couple announcements to start with. First of all, Scott and Robin aren't here. They're out gaining support for their mission trip, which you all know about. And they're in Clarion today, and we have Pastor Warren Curry here from Clarion, so they're swapping places today. Let's welcome him to our church. Also want to remind you, on the 28th of July, there will be a celebration for honoring Scott and Robin. 26th? Okay, sorry.
They leave the 28th.
That's why we need to write these announcements down. And I'm sure I would mess it up, so I'm going to turn this next announcement over to Hope, Feed My Starving Children. You want to talk about that briefly? Thank you. Several of us were camping out this weekend at Cattle Creek Christian Camp, and one of the things that you learn out when you're camping is you're not always totally comfortable. And as Christians, as we found out this morning watching the video that Chris presented at Adult Ed, being a Christian may become progressively more and more uncomfortable. And on that topic of comfort, there's a message from our Wednesday night book. We've been spending most of the year going through Be Comforted. And if you read much of Isaiah, some of his words are not very comforting in the usual sense of being warm and fuzzy. So what does he mean by be comforted? Let me read from Wiersbe's introduction on that. The English word comfort comes from two Latin words that together mean with strength. When Isaiah says to us, be comforted, it is not a word of pity, but of power. God's comfort does not weaken us. It strengthens us. God is not indulging us. He's empowering us. So in quietness and confidence, you shall be strengthened. Let me read from Isaiah 40, 1 through 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we seek a comfortable life. We like a soft cushion, a fuzzy sweater, a warm place to stay. But we know that that's not the kind of comfort you promise us. You promise the comfort of knowing that you have our life in your hand and that you have our future known about ahead of time and planned for us. You have things for us to do. And we have comfort in knowing that you are there and you are always with us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Happy Father's Day to all fathers and everybody who ever has had a father. I guess that includes just about everyone, doesn't it? On this earth, it seems like there couldn't be any love that we could experience that would be greater than the love that parents have for their children. But we all know that there isn't a perfect mother or a perfect father out there, and there is one that we have that we're going to sing about right now. We invite you to stand and sing along with us. No greater love. There's no greater love than Jesus. And let's just rock this house and sing about that love. You may have a seat. This is the time in our service for the children's moment. So, kids, come on up and find a place to settle yourself down and have a good listen.
Fix it the little drag wheel. I borrowed a boat this morning. I understand a few of you have been in a boat this weekend, and some of you out of the boat been this weekend. So, but we're going to talk about this boat. Will you take that off of there now, please? Just the boat. Doesn't it come loose? Doesn't it come loose? Huh?
It's screwed down. You got to have a screwdriver.
Oh, I thought I had it. Well, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm going to talk about the boat. I'm going to have to have the trailer too. On the bottom of that boat, there is a rudder. And the rudder decides what direction that boat will go. And a rudder is just a little bitty thing on many boats. But it still puts it the direction that you want it to go. And because even though it's little, it has lots of power. And we've been talking about power and love and what a wonderful God we serve. And one of the things that I have found that also has some power is the tongue. All of us have a tongue. I'm going to read you what James says, and then we'll talk about a couple of other things. It says, take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. And when you think about the tongue, think in terms of that little rudder that moves boats great big distances. With your tongue, you can love people, you can give them peace, you can hurt people, and yet it's just one of our little parts that make up who we are. So if you come to somebody and you say, ooh, I see you gained a little weight, what do you think, you know? But if instead you say, oh, I just love your dress today, or you're really looking especially good today, sometimes that tongue gets away from us. And it does something that you didn't intend for it to do. And it hurts without your really meaning to do that. And God wants us to be careful about what our tongue does. I'm going to go back to Proverbs. And in Proverbs, there's several things that talk about the tongue. One says a gentle answer turns away wrath. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. So you can gentle some of those things. You can make peace after you've hurt somebody and not meaning to. If we go back into verse, or to the sixth verse, or not verse, sixth chapter, it says there are six things that the Lord hates. And one of those things is a lying tongue. Any of you ever tell a little lie? Yeah, you know, sometimes you do it without thinking. But God wants you to steer your life with a gentle tongue. And being a gentle tongue doesn't mean you don't have to stand up for yourself. You have to be wishy-washy. It means know what you believe, state what you believe, and use that tongue for good. Anybody have any questions? Does that mean anything to any of you? You know, I hope I'm not just talking to the adult. Small thing, great power. That's our God. Let's pray. Precious Lord, you made each one of us. You gave each one of us a tongue. We know that you hate a lying tongue or any tongue that hurts other people. So help us to be gentle of tongue, to think about what we say, to know right from wrong, and to speak with love. For a tongue that speaks love is sure to be a gentle one. We love you. We thank you for your son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jane. As the kids return to their seats, let's all just take a minute to stand and reach out and meet those around us, and we'll continue with our singing in just a minute.
Thank you. Good morning. And I ask that you would bow with me in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. An opportunity to come together as the body of Christ here on earth. To lift up our praises to you. To lift up our hearts, our minds, our hands, and our worship to the one who is most deserving. It is an honor, it is a privilege to be a part of your family, O God. And Lord, we just pray right now for those who are struggling with different illnesses. Lord, that they would find their strength, their comfort, and their peace in you. Father, families who are dealing with the loss of loved ones, that you would continue to bring healing into their heart and guide them as time will bring some healing. And Father, we pray for those who are struggling in their families right now. Lord, you know each and every situation. You know each and every story better than we do. And so we look to you for your guidance, for your strength. Lord, I pray for repentance. I pray that people will turn their hearts away from the things of this world and their hearts solely to you. That you would be Lord of their lives. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come together to worship you, to honor you, and I just pray that you will continually be lifted up in this service and in our lives as we leave this place today. You are so good. You are so awesome. You are so wonderful. You are so worthy. And we just praise you this morning because it's all about you. And we just pray this through the glorious and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. Amen. Well, good morning again. I was told I could set my water over here. I'll try not to drink the vase. Well, if you would, open up to Acts chapter 8. You'll find a little outline in your bulletin. It looks like Pastor Scott actually took me literally when I said to put the letter O, and he actually wrote letter O. And actually put the word letter before the letter O, but that's okay. I said letter O plus letter O. He was concerned that you might think it was 0 plus 0 equals 0, which is logically true, but we're not going that route today. A little about myself. My name is Warren Curry. I grew up born and raised in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Attended the Waterloo Church of Christ, which is now River's Edge Christian Church. Went to school in Minnesota, Rochester, Minnesota, at Minnesota Bible College. My ministries have taken me across. They've first pastored, youth pastor down in southern Georgia, in Albany, Georgia. I found out God had a sense of humor sending this warm-blooded boy to the hottest place on earth, where it's always humid and never stops sweating. So it was a great experience. Then we moved up to Quincy, Illinois, where I served as associate pastor there. And then we were in Sheldon, Wisconsin, with Church Christ up there. Back down to Cassin, Minnesota, which is just west of Rochester, about 15 miles. And then just about 7 years ago, we've come down to Clarion, Iowa. So it's exciting to have made the full loop and kind of be back home as far as I'm concerned. But it's been an exciting journey that God has taken us on. My wife, Kara, and I have been married 17 and a half years. We have three boys that we love and adore and very proud of, and so excited to have them with us today. Plus, I couldn't celebrate Father's Day without them, so. I just got done, I apologize, I can hear it in my own throat, it's a little raspy, it's a little trashed. I just got done deaning a week of camp with middle schoolers, so there was a lot of yelling. And so I've kind of warped it just a little bit, but what we're going to look at this morning is kind of like a mathematical equation. O plus O equals O. And it might be up there, yeah. So in Acts, we're going to take a look at this passage in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to see how this formula works. In fact, O plus O equals O actually works all throughout the scriptures. We see it time and time again. We see O plus O equals O in the life of David and Abraham and Moses. We see it in the lives of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see it in the New Testament through the life of Peter and Paul and Barnabas. This little equation is seen all throughout the scripture, and it can also be seen today in the lives of people of Christ. And so we're going to just take a little look at how this plays out, and we're going to look specifically at a gentleman by the name of Philip. And so if you want to start, look at verse 26. I'm going to read through the passage, and then we'll walk through the equation. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'Well, how can I,' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So looking at our little equation here of O plus O equals O, the first O, if you're a note taker, want to write anything down, the first O is openness to the Lord's leading. Openness to the Lord's leading. It's so very important for us to be open to God's leading. And looking at Philip's life, how do we know this is a guy who is open to the Lord's leading? Well, if you go back just a couple chapters in Acts to chapter 6, we kind of find Philip's origins for a moment. At what was going on in Acts chapter 6 was, in the daily distribution of the food, the Hebraic widows and the Grecian widows, there was kind of a controversy going on because some of the widows were being overlooked in the distribution of the food. And so they go to the apostles, they go to the 12 and say, hey guys, this stinks. We got some people being overlooked here. We need some help here. And so the apostles say, okay, listen, we need to continue to work in the ministry of the prayer and the teaching of the word, and we don't really want to be waiting on tables. So you, the people, you select 7 men from among you who are filled with the Spirit and filled with wisdom. And so the people got together. They liked the idea. They thought this was a good deal. So they selected 7 men from among them. The first one on the list is Stephen. The second guy on the list is a guy named Philip. And that's the Philip we see here in Acts chapter 8. Now, along with the other 5 guys in the list there, the apostles came. Again, everybody was pleased with the selection of the 7. And the apostles laid hands on them, prayed for them, and commissioned them into the work and the ministry of what they were going to do. And therefore, Philip is now somebody who has proven to be open to God's leading. I mean, he was selected by his peers. He was selected by the people around him. He's been recognized as somebody who apparently loves God, loves his word, and allows the Spirit to lead him in his life. And so here is a man who is open to the Lord's leading in his life. And we see this right there in back in chapter 8, verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes to Jerusalem from Gaza. Why would the Spirit come to somebody that's not open to be led by him? I mean, granted, the Spirit is speaking to people, and granted, the Spirit is working around even unbelievers' lives, trying to lead them in his direction, but a lot of people don't listen. But Philip appeared to be open to what God wanted to do with his life, and he wanted to be used by God. And so the Spirit speaks to God and says, or speaks to Philip and says, here's where I want you to go. So that's just the opening line of the equation. Openness to God's leading. Now, if you listen to our world, you listen to our culture is saying, well, you just need to be open-minded. Come on, Christians, you need to be more open-minded. You're so closed-minded, bigoted, racist, whatever the world wants to call us, because we don't agree and go with the path of the world in every direction they go. And so we get called names. But the reality is to follow and be open to the Spirit's leading, open to his word, open to what God would have us do. That's what we need our minds and our hearts open to. The rest of the world and their teaching and their messages that goes exactly against God's word, we need to not be open to that, because we don't want to be pulled in a direction that leads us further away from God. We want to move in the direction that gets us closer to God, and we draw nearer unto him. So here we have again Philip, who is an open man. Now, the next O, and this will be the bigger chunk of the passage here in Acts 8 that we just read through, the second O in this equation is obedience to the Lord's leading. You see, first we need to be open to God's leading, but we also need to be obedient. We need to be willing to obey his commands, obey his word, obey his teaching, obey his directives. It's so easy to do what we want to do. There's a lot of times where I want to do what I want to do rather than what God would have me do, because it's what I want. But hopefully as I grow and I mature and in my faith and my understanding of who he is, hopefully my wants become more of what he wants and less of what my flesh desires in this life, because I seek to honor him and to obey him with my life. And if we think about the Apostle Paul, and I know we've all probably heard this passage, and we really relate to it, and we're very thankful it's in the Bible, when Paul says, the evil I don't want to do is the thing I do, and the thing I don't want to do, I keep on doing. I mean, how many relate with that? I mean, that's, seriously, that we've all been caught up in that. We're like, boy, thank you, Paul, for writing that down. It gets me off the hook a lot of the time. No. But the reality that he wrote that to understand, as Paul gets lifted up as this great patriarch of the faith, this is the man who penned those words. He's not any greater, any better than you and I. He struggled with the same temptations, the same sin struggles that any of us would. The thing is, his love and his passion, his desire was bent towards Jesus Christ. To love him, to obey him, to trust him, to worship him, to follow him, and to give of himself fully to the service of God's kingdom. So, Philip, back to Philip, we have the openness to God's leading. Now we're obedient to God's leading. So the angel says, go to this road, this certain place. And it's got to be kind of a strange command. Why do you want me to go stand on this road at this particular place with no other directives? But when he gets there, he finds out what he was there for. Because a chariot comes rolling along. And there's this Ethiopian eunuch, and he's reading from the passage of Isaiah in the Old Testament. And he's been in Jerusalem to worship during this time of festival and Passover. And so the reading of the scripture and the fact that Philip hears him reading it means he was reading it out loud, and which was customary at that time to read orally and out loud. And so he's reading from this passage, and Philip hears it. And so Philip does something very simple. He says, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy's like, no. I have no idea what I'm reading. I need somebody to explain it to me. How many of you felt like that reading the Bible? I mean, I've got people all over our congregation that like this. They're like, man, I read it, and I'm like, I don't get it. And then they shut the Bible. It's like, okay, wait, don't do that. Don't just shut it. Don't give up. Ask questions. Ask the questions. How will you know the answer if you don't at first ask the question? So ask the questions, and don't stop at the question. Follow it through to find the answer. A lot of people just ask the question or say, well, what does that mean? And then they think about it for a little while, and they're just waiting for the Lord to kind of drop the answer in. Now he ain't answering, so I'm done. We need to not do that. We need to be patient. We need to give ourselves some time to allow his word to feed us and to get into us, because we're not always going to understand certain aspects of it. I think of here about 6-7 years ago, my mom passed away. And there was a passage of scripture during that week that I had read a few days after her death, and it was the story of Lazarus. And in that story, Jesus is talking with the sisters, and at the end he says, you know, those who die will live because I'm the resurrection and life. And then he asked the sisters, do you believe this? And he asked a question. Now I'm telling you, I've read that hundreds of times over the years. I've been very familiar with that passage. But at this moment, dealing with death in my own life and my own family and closeness to me, I saw a question I'd never seen before. Do you believe this? And I had to think about it for a second. It didn't take me long where I was like, yeah, I believe this. But I had never seen that before. And sometimes scripture just jumps off the page for us. Something we've read hundreds of times, and all of a sudden at this moment, at this time in our life, when we need that word the most, we hear it. It just jumps off the page. We're like, man, how did I never see that before? It's good for us to be obedient to the Lord's leading in our lives and allow him to continue to grow us and stretch us, mature us, teach us, break us if we need broken, whatever we need so that we can grow in him. Philip was that man. Philip was being obedient by just going and standing at a crossroads, and a chariot comes by. And so he asked the question, do you understand what you're reading? No. That's an honest answer. No, I don't get it. I used to kind of fake it in the early days of ministry because you don't want to sound like an idiot. You know, when I was a youth pastor for several years and kids would come ask you a question, you're like, well, you know, the Bible says, and then you just start blowing smoke because you're not quite sure what the answer is, but you want it to sound real godly, you want it to sound Bible-y, and you want it to sound impressive because you want people to think you're wise. I realize over the years, I look back and I tell my congregation all the time, the older I get, the more of an idiot I realize I've been. But that's just life. That's just how it goes for me. But to be open to that leading and to be obedient to that leading. Here's Philip talking with this guy. The guy invites him in the chariot, and he finds that he's reading from Isaiah, the prophet. Now, in our Bibles today, we'd open it up and we'd say, this is Isaiah chapter 53 from the verse to this verse. But it's a powerful passage. And this passage was written 700 years before Jesus was even born on the earth. And so it's from a long time ago before Philip's day and for this eunuch's day. And so as they read through the passage or looking at it, the eunuch is intensified. He's like, who is this about? Was the prophet writing about himself? Or was it somebody else? And it says that Philip took that very passage of scripture, this 700-year-old passage, this writing, and he tells him about Jesus. Tells him about Jesus. Why? Because the story was about Jesus. The prophecy was about Jesus. And he tells him exactly what happened and brings it all the way up to modern day. And it says we have no idea how far they rode, how many miles they went, how much time passed by. But during this period of time, Philip's explaining the gospel message. He's telling the greatest story ever known to this Ethiopian eunuch. And as they come along, somewhere in that story, he mentioned baptism because the guy says, hey, look, there's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? So that's what they do. They pull over the chariot, and they start moving that direction. Now, this is where the third O comes in. We have openness to God's leading. We have obedience to God's leading. And what does that equal? It equals some overwhelming results. Some overwhelming results. Because it's not about us and our plan and our will and our schedule and our opinions and our ideas. It's about honoring God. It's about looking to live out His will for our lives. And hopefully, as time goes on, as we grow in the Lord and as we mature, we make this transition from it being all about us to being all about Him. Because that's what it should be. Even when we come to church, it's not about us. We are the church. We gather together and we worship together. But who are we worshiping? Not us, Him. It's about Him. When we hear from the Word, it's not about us. It's about Him and what He desires for our lives and how He'd want us to grow and how He wants us to stretch and how we need to change some things. And sometimes maybe, you know, when Pastor Scott's preaching, sometimes you probably hear something and you're sitting back there going, my goodness, was he following me this week? You know, did he see what I was doing? Because that sounded like it was just for me. You know, I got a guy in our church in Clarion who his line is, brother, you were stepping on my toes again this week. I'm like, blame the Spirit, not me. I'm just the mouthpiece. You know, if you feel that conviction, that's God working. And we need to listen and respond. It's like Philip, the Spirit speaking. If that's happening and all of a sudden there's just that pain in your side or that stepping of the toes and you're just like, man, it's kind of an awakening saying there's something going on in my life that I probably need to change, that I really don't want to deal with, but I have a choice. What am I going to do? Am I going to move in the direction where the Spirit is calling to draw me closer to God, or am I going to resist that and do what I want to do because it pleases me? That's the battle we go through in our lives, day in and day out. So, openness to God's leading plus obedience to God's leading equals overwhelming results. They pull over the chariot. They go down in the water. Philip baptizes the man. The man comes out of the water. Now, I'm not saying every time somebody gets baptized that the guy that baptized you just disappears out of thin air. That would be really cool, but I don't think that happens all the time. But it says that he comes out of the water, and Philip is now taken away. He's gone. And, you know, the eunuch, I don't know. I mean, if that would have happened, I'd have been a little bit perplexed. I'd have been like, what just happened? It was kind of a beam me up Scotty moment. But he's gone. But it doesn't say anything about that. It just says, and he went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. And Philip ends up in another town and starts preaching the gospel over there, doing what he just did, riding in this chariot, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It's an overwhelming result to see somebody's life, to hear that message, because Philip was open and obedient, and he shared the message of truth, that this man's life was changed, and that he went back to Ethiopia, a changed man for God, a changed man in Jesus Christ. And from what I've read, and don't quote me, because I don't know that this is the exact truth, but from what I've understood and read historically, his transformation that we see right here in Acts 8 is why there's still a church in Ethiopia today. This was the beginning of the church that's in Ethiopia, Africa, today. That's astounding. Over 2,000 years that this man had went home, a changed man, and who did he tell? Did he have family? Did he tell the queen, you know, Candace? Did he tell other associates or other officials? We don't know, but there's a reason there's a church there, because a Christian came there and shared the message. That's our responsibility, and I hope and pray that we would look to see this equation in our own lives. Are you open to the Lord's leading? Or are you more concerned about what you want to do? Are you obedient when he calls you? When he says, hey, here's an opportunity. Are you willing to go and step forth, step out of your comfort zone? Because sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes we desire the big grandiose serving of God rather than, oh, he wants me to give her a ride? Okay. It doesn't seem all exciting, but you see, it's service and it's ministry. You have no idea what will happen. Philip rode in a chariot. Maybe we ride in a car giving somebody a ride to the hospital or a ride to an appointment. What kind of conversation can happen that if we bring God into that and allow him to use us because we're open and we're obedient to him, something overwhelming can happen. And again, like I said, we see it in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament, and we can see it today. If we follow this, and again, I'm not big into magical equations and that if you do this plus this plus that, this is always what's going to happen, but I really see this being open to God's leading and obedient to God's leading. We have no idea what can come of that because it's not about us. It's not about what we do. It's about what we've been willing to do, and that's serve him for his purposes and for his glory. It's not that I get something out of it. It's not that, hey, look, I want another one of Jesus, woo! It's not about me. I got to be a part of the story, and that's really cool. But the story is not about me. It's about him. And hopefully we can continue to do that and allow this equation to play itself out in our own lives. May we strive to be open. May we strive to be obedient. And may we let God use us to his glory to do something very, very overwhelming around us or through us in the lives of the people he places before us. Thank you.
All who call on Jesus as their Lord and Savior are welcome to participate in communion. If you have a question in your heart as to what that exactly means, it would be certainly okay to take a pass on communion. And certainly if you have some unforgiveness in your life that needs to be resolved, that would also be a reason to take a pass. But for those of us who trust in Jesus as our foundation, as I mentioned earlier, the communion is comfort, not the tasty morsel, the pleasant food, but it's the comfort of Christ's presence in our life and his guiding light for us. And I think that's why he asked us to keep doing this. And so we here at our church do it weekly. Different churches do it at different intervals, and that's not the importance. The important thing is that we do it as we receive Christ's comfort in our life for the salvation that he's given for us. I want to read from Matthew 26 through 28 today. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Heavenly Father, we share in this communion to remember you, to remember that you gave your life for us, even though we're sinful people and we continue to run away from you. You reached out to us first, before we were born, before we were even thought of. Help us to take comfort in this and to empower us with your forgiveness. In Jesus, amen.
In Matthew 5, 26, it says, "Let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and give praise to your Father in heaven." Pray that we would look to do that today, this week, this month, every day. Let our light shine, the light of Jesus. There's a lot of darkness around us, a lot of darkness in this world. And man, this is such an opportunity, it's such a privilege that we can represent the kingdom of God here on this planet. And that we can take that good news like Philip did and share it with others. It doesn't mean you have to slap open a Bible and throw it in somebody's face, but you can have an honest conversation about real stuff when people are going through difficult times. And what sees you through? Is it your faith or is it something else? I really believe that the Bible and the gospel message is the greatest story ever told, but I also realize not everybody wants to hear that message. So one thing I really encourage people to do is share the second greatest story ever told. That's what Jesus has done for you personally. See, they'll listen to that. You're not throwing an old book in front of them that they think is just some antique. But you're telling them about the change in your life. What's God done for you? How's he changed you? How's he worked through you? How does he see you through the hardest, difficult, darkest days of life sometimes? That people will listen to. And then at some point in time, you'll get to open that book and you'll get to point them in the right direction. But may we be that light. May we shine that light. And may we give praise to our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Gracious Father, again, we thank you for this day, this opportunity, this time to come together, to be here, to grow in our relationship with you, because you are so worthy, you are so deserving. Lord, lead us as we leave this place and as we recognize as we walk outside these doors that our mission field is just outside. The mission field is our neighborhoods, it's our workplaces, it's wherever we dwell and wherever we go, that we get to shine the light of Jesus Christ. Father, may you be glorified, may you be honored through us who are your faithful servants. Father, just thank you for this time to be here. I thank you for an opportunity to come and to share your word and to share in a fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, may you use us to your glory and to your honor. We pray this in the glorious name of Jesus, who is our Lord. Amen.
Forever.
Thank you so much for worshiping with us this morning. Thank you, Pastor Curry, for being here and bringing the message. And hope you have a great Father's Day, a great week, and hope to see you next Sunday. Have a great day.